Well, praise the Lord and good morning to everybody. The Word of God tells us that we should enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise.
Hallelujah.
Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about being in the house of worship. One more time, I'm truly thankful for all the things the Lord has done. And so right where you are this morning, we want you to join in with us as we worship the Lord through song, as we praise God through the words of these songs. We want you to join in with us. We're going to sing, Oh, Give Thanks. And I don't know about you, but I've got a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
And I'm sure there's some witnesses here today that God has done so much. And we got so much to thank Him for. We've got health. We've got strength. We've got life. We've got the activities of our limbs. Most of us woke up in our right minds. We've got so much to thank God for. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Anybody know He's good?
Yeah. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord,
yeah,
for He is good. Yes, He is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord,
He is good,
for He is good. Yes, He is good. Come on, say,
Oh, give thanks
unto the Lord.
Unto the
Yes,
He is good.
My God is good.
For He is good.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. He is good. He is good. Every morning he
Hallelujah.
Is good. Hallelujah. No matter the circumstance.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh,
oh, oh yeah,
yeah. He has given us a song in the midst of a struggle. He has given us a praise to lift up.
Oh, yeah.
We will worship him unashamed. We will glorify his name.
Hallelujah.
We will praise him, for my God is good. I'm free to dance and sing, free to lift my hands and worship. Lord, I'm free.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, I'm free. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm free to dance and sing, free to lift my hands and worship. Lord, I'm free. Lord, I'm free. Come on, say.
Free to dance and sing.
I'm still free.
Free to lift my hands and worship. Lord, I'm free.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, I'm free.
I'm free today.
Free to dance and sing.
Free to,
free to lift my hands and worship. Lord, I'm free.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, I'm free.
I'm free to dance.
Free to dance and sing.
Free to pray.
Free to lift my hands and worship. Lord, I'm free.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, I'm free.
Said I'm free today.
Free to dance and sing. Free to lift my hands and worship. Lord, I'm free.
Come on.
Lord, I'm
Say,
free.
Say,
I'm a free worshiper.
Yeah.
I'm a free worshiper.
I'm a free.
I'm a free worshiper.
Lord, I'm free.
Lord, I'm
you
free.
You still give us a song.
I'm a free
Lord.
Worshiper.
I'm
a free worshiper. Lord, I'm free.
Say, I'm free to dance.
Free to dance and sing.
I'm free to
free
lift.
To lift my hands and worship. Lord, I'm free.
He has liberated
Lord,
us.
Lord, I'm free.
Say, I'm free to dance.
Free to dance.
Who's
sing.
The Son of God?
Free
sets
to lift my hands
it's free
and worship.
Indeed.
Lord, I'm free.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, I'm free.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, I'm free.
I'm free.
Hallelujah.
Today.
Free to dance and sing.
Free to
lift my hands and worship. Lord, I'm free.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lord, I'm free. I'm a free worshiper.
And I'm gonna praise.
I'm a free worshiper.
I'm gonna magnify you.
I'm a free worshiper.
Lord, I'm free.
Lord.
Lord, I'm free.
Lord, I'm free. I'm a free worshiper.
Hey.
I'm a free worshiper.
Hey.
I'm a free worshiper.
Lord, I'm free.
Lord, I'm free.
Come on. The enemy can't take away your song. You can Amen. Praise your God all day long. In the midst of the struggle, he gives you a praise. In the midst of the trial,
Hallelujah.
He lifts
Hallelujah.
Up. Come on.
Yeah.
Praise his name for his goodness.
Hallelujah.
Praise his name for his greatness. He still gives us a praise.
Hallelujah.
He still gives us a praise. I thank God I'm free.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. And I'll never be bound again. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I thank God I'm free.
And I'll never.
And I'll never. Bound again. Come on and declare it. Say, I thank God.
Thank God I'm free.
We can still lift up his
and
name.
And I'll never
we can
be
still
bound
declare his praise.
Again.
We can still come together in the presence of the saints.
Thank God I'm free.
No matter what the enemy comes
and
to
I'll
do,
never
he can't
Father God,
we're free. Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh. Your angels are declaring your greatness, your power, and your majesty.
Lord,
no matter what it looks like on earth,
free and
just a blessing.
Let's everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Three parts.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise his holy name. Church family, our scripture today comes out of Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rehidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation."
Come on.
These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Oh, my goodness, Heavenly Father, it is once again to feel your children are calling upon thy name. When we think about the goodness that you have brought us through, even though the devil is shooting these doubt darts all over the place, telling us lies, trying to kill our spirit, but when we look up, we see the sun shining. You said, "You are my son, you are my daughter, everything's going to be all right." So, Heavenly Father, I ask that you go forth not only here at 867 East Walnut Street, but all across the United States. People are scared, but let them feel thy spirit, Lord. Stir up your gift. Stir up everything so that we'll do the right thing, and we just turn to thy word, Lord. And then once we turn to the Lord, to your word, Heavenly Father, give us our giddy up in our step. Be about your business, Heavenly Father, so that everybody can see the goodness of you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless the Parkhurst family, the Sutton family, Stone family, the Phillips family. Heavenly Father, you know that you call loved ones home. But Heavenly Father, ain't it amazing, even though you called them home, that we, when we close our eyes, we think about the good, the memories that you've given us and how you use them to use your word, to spread your word, Heavenly Father. But Heavenly Father, I know what you're going to do. We all got to go that path. But Heavenly Father, I ask you to put a special blessing upon Reverend Rascal and all ministers who are going to speak your word today. Let it go forth. Stir up your gift. Stir it up, Lord. Get us leaders in the right way, Lord. When we stand on your promises, Lord, all we got to do is when we woke up this morning, we were standing on your promises. So that's what we're going to do. Have thy way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you, Reverend Langley. We do honor the Lord today just for who he is. Who he is in our lives, and we just, it's a privilege to be a part of God's family. It's a privilege to be his sons and daughters, and we are so thankful, so grateful to God that he decided that he wanted to have a relationship with us. Anybody thankful today that God chose to have a relationship with us? In spite of all we've done, in spite of all the mess we've gotten ourselves in, he chose to make us a part of his family. He adopted us as his sons and as his daughters, and what a privilege it is. We're gonna worship God in this chorus. Hallelujah. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Anybody want to help me? Give thanks. For he has given Jesus Christ, his Son. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. I've come to give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks. Why? For he has given Jesus Christ. Help me say, give thanks.
Give thanks
with a grateful heart.
With a grateful heart.
Somebody ought to help me.
Give thanks
to the Holy One.
To the Holy One.
Give thanks.
Give thanks.
For he has given.
For he has given.
Jesus Christ,
his Son.
strong.
Now, God, may the very words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, may all of that be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, for you're our strength and you are our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. A big thank you to each and every one of you who have been so kind to Zoom in and spend some time with us this morning. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of places you could be enjoying worship, and so I want you to know that we do not take for granted the fact that you would give us some of your time this morning as we go to the Lord and as we worship. There's a word from the Lord today in Exodus chapter 19. Brother Dwight read the text. I do want to read a couple of verses for the sake of emphasis. Verse number 3, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. I want to talk about don't mess this up. Don't mess this up. People mess up. People mess up. Matter of fact, if you go to the very beginning, to the very first person and family, they're known for being the first creation, but they also known for messing up. Adam and Eve wanted for nothing. They didn't have a veteran bill. They didn't have a doctor. They didn't even have to buy clothes. And God provided everything that they would ever need. And they messed up. Cain had one little baby brother to play with, and he got jealous of his baby brother and messed up. David should have been on the battlefield, but he stayed home and became a peeping Tom and messed up. Y'all, people will mess up. There's somebody looking at me living in regret right now because you had the best thing you ever had in your life and you took her for granted and messed up. People can mess up relationship. Some of y'all had a good job. You wanted for nothing. You had goals and people loved you, but you got beside yourself and you messed up. How many of y'all have been handed, God have blessed and opened doors and given you a little more money than you've ever had? And before you know it, you done jacked it off. Cause people will, they'll mess up. And here in our text today, the children of Israel have been out of Egypt for 90 days. And God has brought them to where he told Moses he was going to bring them, to Mount Sinai. And God brings them there to park for a minute. And they're going to stay there some 11 months because it's important that as they've come out of bondage, God has to deal with them, teach them, help them to become strong as they prepare for heading to the promised land. Here it is, y'all. They're out of bondage, but they haven't reached the blessing. Between bondage and the blessing, there's a wilderness experience, and if you aren't careful, you can mess up between getting free one minute and then receiving all that God has destined for you to have. Because people will mess up. And if you keep on reading, you'll discover that along the way, in spite of all the warnings, a whole bunch of them messed up. I heard you, Eric. Eric wants to know, he asked the question, well, is there any way I can tell if I'm on the verge of messing up? Because maybe if I know what to watch for, then I can stop myself before I go too far. That's a real good question. How can I tell if I'm about to mess up? Here we go. You can tell you are about to mess up if you forget what you saw God do with your very own eyes. In other words, when you forget your own testimony, when you forget what you saw God do in your life with your very own eyes, you are on the verge of messing up. Look at this text. Let me show you what he said. He said in verse 4, God tells Moses, he said, Moses, this is what I want you to tell them. He says then in verse 4, you yourself, Moses, you tell them, you yourself saw, you've seen what I did, watch this, to Egypt. To Egypt. Not in Egypt. You saw what I did to Egypt. Let me see if I can explain it. He's giving them a picture of the whole experience that they just came out of. They were enslaved by Egyptians that forgot about their forefather who'd been good to them. They were oppressed by the Egyptians because it was the Egyptians that had manpower. But God, in his own time, showed up, and with one man and a stick, he did some plagues in Egypt, and each one of those plagues was designed to show power over their idol gods. He turned water in the Nile to blood to show power over their gods. And one after another, and here's what's so interesting, the stuff that affected the Egyptians did not affect the Israelites. And he reminds them, you remember when I heard your cry and I sent the deliverer, and you saw week after week after week what I did to Egypt. And it's important. That's a great lesson as you move through the wilderness experience. It's a great lesson to know that once you're free and you have yet to reach the blessing that God has for you, that you need to know that God, because here's the lesson. The lesson is that God has the power and will exert power to handle your adversaries. Stop calling it. Here's the deal. When God brought them out, even after God brought them out, their adversary still was trying to keep them from having what God had destined for them to have. What did they do? You know what they did. They came after them to conquer them and to bring them back into bondage. And before it was all over, their enemy laid at their feet, dead from being drowned in the Red Sea. It's a lesson before you move forward that you need to look back and remember what God has already done. You're 90 days out of freedom. You need to remember what he's already done. You need to know that you've been free now for 90 days, so he brought you and now he's keeping you, and you need to remember that, because when you move forward, you every now and then you will run into adversaries, somebody that don't want you to have what God has already destined for you. And you need to remember that God has power, because he'll do something to Egypt and he'll do something to anybody that gets in his way. God can handle your adversary. I don't know why folk be tripping in America, because God has shown. You've seen it with your very own eyes, how God opened doors, made ways. You've seen it with your very own eyes. You're living in places where some folk didn't want you to live. Because God can do something to your adversary. Y'all driving some stuff that folks said you'd never drive. You got businesses that folks said you could never have. Because God is able to do something. Bert, won't he do something to the adversary? You got to remember what you've seen with your own eyes. Here's the second one. Here's the second one. You're on the verge of messing up if you miss the message in the image. When God gives images, he's not just trying to give you a video. There's always a message tied to the image. You remember what I did to Egypt. And then in the same verse, he says, I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I carried you on eagle's wings. I can't help but think, Junior, I believe on Mount Sinai, there was probably an eagle somewhere flying around, and God synchronized it so that the children of Israel could see. And everybody always celebrates the beauty and the power of the eagle. And they no doubt they know a little something, something about eagles. And God said, I carried you on the eagle's wings. Here's the picture. Here's the picture. Eagles are all born in nests. But the nest is not your destiny. You're born in the nest, but the nest is not your destiny. The nest is a place where you stay for a little while, but it's not your destiny. It's a place where sometimes you experience a little bit of comfort. And the mother eagle has something, he has a plan. Even after that eaglet is hatched, she got a plan, because that nest is not big enough for big old eagle, baby eagle, to have his own room. The plan is, in a little while, you gonna leave this nest one way, one way or another, because the nest is not your destiny. Folk know a little something about eagles. The nest is not designed for them to live in. And what the children of Israel have just experienced, if you will, they have now been freed. They had houses back in Egypt. Wasn't the best, but they had some. They had a stable place back in Egypt. But God has now moved them from that nest, because the nest weren't designed for you to stay. Now here's the issue. In order to gain, sometimes you gotta leave something, because you can't have the nest and the blessing in the promised land all at the same time. Can't do it. It wasn't designed. If you're going to go forward, then you got to leave where you are, because you can't be here and there at the same time. Now here they are at Mount Sinai. They're at Mount Sinai, Ed, and they're going to be there for 11 months. God has them parked, camping at Mount Sinai, because he's got to give them a word. He's got to give them some strength. He has to give them some instruction. They got to prepare to build a tabernacle, because as they get ready to go forward, they're going to need to know how to treat each other. And they're going to have to know, Dwight, how to relate with God. And so it's going to take a minute until they get all of that together. But at God's appointed time, they will move out again. But right now, they're parked at Mount Sinai to hear a word, to receive instruction, to gain strength. Because in a minute, you're going to have to leave the nest. Leaving the nest represents freedom.
Because here's what you got to do. What God is doing is the eagle, listen to the image, the lesson in the image is the eagle leaves the nest and learns to be comfortable in the sky. The eagle learns. It's within them to learn this, but they learn how to be comfortable in the sky. In other words, they're somewhere up to this point they haven't been before, but they've learned to be comfortable in the sky. They've learned to be comfortable in a place where there's some stuff moving that they can't see. But being comfortable going to this new arena, the sky, is based on their ability to rely on what they can't see. They came out of Egypt. They didn't have GPS so that they could look at it. They had to trust God's word to God's man, to God's people. And they had to trust that God knew what he was doing and where they was going. They ain't know nothing about the promised land, but God said over, I gotta get country, over yonder, I got a place prepared for you. And they had to learn how to be comfortable. Matter of fact, confident. They had to learn how to rely on God. They had to learn how to rely on God and rely on his presence, even when they couldn't always see him. I got two grand dogs. I got two grand dogs. One of my grand dogs is Ari. My second grand dog is Falcon. One of the lessons that I love that Ari and Falcon teach us, I'm hoping, praying, longing to have what they have, because both of my grand dogs clearly understand their desperate reliance on their master. And if you ever come to my house or if you go to their house, you will discover that they seldom, if ever, leave the presence of their master. If you go to Zip's house and you knock on the door, I promise you, right at her side, Falcon gonna be right there. Matter of fact, Falcon gonna say something before she even opened the door. Falcon gonna let everybody know that somebody's at the door. And if Zip walks in the other room, Falcon's gonna be on it. If she goes upstairs, Falcon is going upstairs. If she comes downstairs, Falcon is going down. If she goes to the garage, Falcon is gonna be right there, because this dog has the sense to know I'm relying on this person and I'm determined not to let her out of my sight. When they come to our house, and our house got a little more space than her house, and he knows he's at grandpa's house, and he runs a little bit, but he never runs far, because he's always looking, even at grandpa's house, to be close to the one who gives him life, health, and strength. Ari, the same way, she looks at me as if to say, I know you're important, but you ain't the most important in my life. That dog will not leave the presence of Andre and Brittany. I mean, I have to get apples with peanut butter and everything just to try to get a little pet. And when she's done with that, she's right back. Oh, if the children of God could learn the lesson that Ari and Falcon has learned so well. Life is so much better living in the presence of the one who's chose you, who's picked you, who adores you, who gives you health and strength. And when you think you can handle it on your own, you on the verge of messing up. When you want to tell God and others, I got this, you are right on the edge of messing up. How do you know if you're on the verge of messing up? One, if you forget what you've seen God do with your very own eyes, you're on the verge of messing up. When you miss the message that's in the images that God gives, you're on the verge of messing up. I carried you on eagle's wings. In other words, you don't ever see eagles. Eagles fly at a different level. The real problem, according to George Morrison, Shalante, it took the children of Israel, it took God one night to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Walter, it took God 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Let me hit rewind. Let me say it again. God got them out of Egypt in one night, but it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of them. Here's the last one. You know you're on the verge of messing up when you reject God's purpose for your life. All in this text, all in these two little verses, these two power-packed verses, God is giving amazing instruction on what he's up to. I love this text. Verse number 5, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you'll be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you'll be for me a kingdom of priests." God has purpose in bringing us out of bondage. He has purpose in giving us experiences in the wilderness. He has purpose in giving us and helping us to understand his word. And here's what God's offering to you and to me. God wants to have a covenant relationship with his children. God wants us to choose him like he has chosen us. Read it carefully. God's not going to make anybody choose him. God knows where he's going. God knows what he's planned. God knows what his purpose is and what his desire is. But God's not going to make anybody receive what he wants them so desperately to have. He says, I want a covenant with you. I want you to understand who I am and that I want to be your God, and I want you to choose me as your God. And if we have that kind of relationship, I'll do some things for you. I'll fight some battles for you. I'll make a way for you. I'll lead you. I'll share with you ultimately what it is that I want you to do and be. He says, although all the earth is mine, a whole lot of people, God created them, but that don't mean they belong to him. God chose Israel to have a covenant relationship. The one he's chosen, he cherishes. In other words, God is trying to help folk to see, I picked you, I chose you. And because I chose you, I cherish what I chose. And he knows what he chose when he chose it. He knows we come short. He knows we fall. He knows we have decent intentions sometimes. But he knows also not what we are, but he knows what we can be if we choose to walk and obey his will. Look at the text. If you obey me, if you keep my commandments. I got something in store for you. I will make you, watch this, a nation of priests. God desires to have a covenant relationship. He cherishes who he chooses because he's chosen us so that we will become a nation of priests. And if you don't know nothing else, know that a priest is a person that is set apart to go to God on behalf of others. A priest is the one who goes to God when the people can't or ain't got sense enough to go to God for themselves. God says, I'm going to have a nation of priests, and I'm going to sprinkle them everywhere because there's some people that are going to need to know who I am, but they're not going to be able to know unless they see somebody who is connected. Watch the order. Watch the order. God called Moses and told Moses, you go and tell Pharaoh, I said, let my people go. And he went down there. Didn't he tell him? God said, let them people go. And Moses and Pharaoh, he had a problem with that for a minute, but you know, God is in the business. He can change your mind. And it wasn't long that then God talked to Moses again, and God said, you go tell the people, I said, help me, T.D. Jakes, get ready. Because we getting ready to roll up out of here. And now here we are, 90 days out of Egypt. And God talks to Moses again, and God tells Moses, go tell the people, I said, don't forget what I did to Egypt, and don't forget how I carried you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. Have y'all caught the order yet? Where God calls an individual and gives the individual a message, and then the individual has the message to give to somebody else. God talks to Moses, but tell Moses what to say to the people. Come on here. God calls his servant close to him and then talks to him because God wants to do something to him, but then God also wants to do something through him. It's the same order. God saved you, and he talks to you because there's somebody that needs to hear a word from him. But God's not going to send them the word himself. God is going to send the word through you to them. And so I need me a nation of priests. I heard you, Tony. I don't know how to be a priest. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to wear. I don't know if my life, I ain't lived a priestly life. I don't think I qualify. I got some good news for you. If God says, I'm going to make you a nation of priests, you know, God, he's pretty good at making stuff. Flip on back to Genesis. It was nothing, and God made light and then said, that's good. He made some land and sea and then paused and said, that's good. He made trees and vegetation on another day and said, that's good. He made some daylight. And then he gave us a nightlight to make a calendar and looked at it and said, that's good. And then he made some catfish, tilapia, largemouth bass, smallmouth bass. He made all the fish and the animals of the land and then said, that's good. And then on the sixth day, God made, he had a committee meeting and said, let us make man. And he made man in his own image. And when God got done making man, he said, that's very good. James Hamler got a grandmother, and every now and then she'd get back around to making something that she hadn't made in a long while. And when she would make something that she hadn't made in a long while, like sweet potato dumplings or something like that, and she would taste it, and she had this phrase she would say after she'd do it again, she'd turn and say, I still got it. She said, I still got it. Every now and then, you might hear Junior, he'll make some salad, chicken salad, may not have made it in a while, but then after he tasted, he always called me, he said, Rem, hey Larry, I want you to know I made some chicken salad today, and I need to put the news out that I still got it. I'm about ready to get on up out of here, but God is looking for some priest that he can talk to and that he can talk through, because people need to know that God, he still got it. He's got power to save, power to deliver, power to redeem, power to forgive. The God I serve, he still got it. Got power to save. And so we've got a message to deliver. We've got a message to deliver. God is looking for somebody to transmit a message through. It's critical. I know, because sometimes you don't feel like a priest. Sometimes you don't feel like godly conversation. Sometimes we have to live with people that they make you speak in tongue. They make you want to lay hands on them. but God is relying on you. I was with a friend one day, and he was hot. And I had to calm him down, because I said, how can I explain to him how important it is, his role in the family? And we were driving, and then the Lord showed me an image. We were in an area where they didn't have a lot of fiber optics, but they had these little satellites on the rooftop. And all the satellites in this area, they were pointed south, because the satellite that we can't see needed to connect with this little transmitter that was on the roof. And God said, there it is. There's the answer. Tell him that the whole household is relying on him to stay connected to the signal. They can't get the signal on their own. I need somebody in every house that can receive the signal. And once they get the signal, they can distribute the signal all through the house. God's called us to be holy priests. God's called us to be a part of the priesthood, so that every now and then he sends the signal, and then we receive the signal and spread it through the house, spread it through the family, spread it through the neighborhood, spread it through the city. Don't you mess up, because there's other people that's relying on you to hear a clear signal. Somebody that you don't even know is relying on you to hear a clear signal. Have I got a witness here? Tell them he's peace. Tell them he's comfort. You want peace? You want deliverance? You'll find it in Jesus. You want healing? You'll find it in Jesus. You want a way maker? You'll find it in Jesus. You want a friend that sticks closer than a brother? You'll find it. You'll find him in Jesus. Don't mess up. Don't mess up. God's done too much. Don't mess up. God's brought us too far. Don't mess this up. Take advantage of what God has provided through Jesus Christ. He is the high priest, and he's called us to be a nation of priests that will deliver his word. Tell them, I said, Jesus is the door. Nobody comes to the Father but through him. Tell them, I said, if they will believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, I'll save them, come in, adopt, and dwell with them. And they'll be my child, and I'll be their Father. And that's good news every day. Every day. My prayer for you, my brother, my sister, don't mess this thing up. God has purpose in bringing us out. God has purpose in what he's bringing us through. God has purpose in calling us to be a royal priesthood, people with a heart, people with a message, people with an experience to know that God still has the power, power to save, power to deliver, power to use you as his vessel. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, my prayer for you is that you'll know. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll just open up, I'll come in. I'll come in, and your life will never be the same. That expression can be done as simple as expressing a sincere prayer. Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, but your word said that you died for my sins, and God raised you from the dead, and I believe that. I open my heart and ask you to come into my life, make me your child, and then mold me into what you want me to be. You can do that in Jesus' name, and he'll come in. And if you've done that, I welcome you to the family. I want to encourage you to know that even though we're not meeting together, we're meeting together. And in the same way that you have seen and heard this message, in the same way, God will hear your prayer and will make you a part of the family. Let us know if you have received Christ as your Savior, or let us know, Pastor, I want to be a member of the Nazarene family. We welcome you right now. So excited for the privilege of being able to reach you. And there are people all over this country that are joining with us in prayer. And so I thank God for that experience. And we want to know how we can connect with you. You need to know. We've got Zoom Bible studies. We've got Zoom Sunday school. We've got Zoom connection. Matter of fact, this very day, later today, if you check out our website, we are launching a blog. A couple of our young people are hosting a message for this week and then 2 weeks, going back to school. And so we're excited about that. NAS Life, you'll find it on our website. NAS Life, we're excited about that, and the messages. Just another opportunity to connect and to show you how much we love you. Hey, family, it's time for the offering. Want to encourage you to continue to give. Thank you for your faithfulness. You have been faithful. So many of you, you come by and you drop off your tithes and offerings. Others are giving through PayPal and Givelify. We're receiving it all. Thank you for that. I do want to ask that you please remember our schools. Our schools are open. The preschool is open. We've had a wonderful week, and we thank God for His presence. Thank God for the instructors. Thank God for the families that are entrusting their children to us. And we are real intentional. We are extremely intentional about making our facility as safe as possible. And so you'll see some different protocols as you come to the facility. We want to encourage you to do that because we want families to know, it's our desire for them to know that we're serious about keeping their children safe. So thank you. Thank you for that. We celebrate again. We'll be celebrating the homegoing celebration of Brother Jonathan Parkhurst. You'll see that on the website. It's also in the newspaper next Saturday at Boone Funeral Home East. We'll have his celebration of life. And so we thank God for you and thank God for your prayers. You have been, anything else? Okay. All right. Well, listen, it's been a great day. We love you. We thank you. Let me close with this blessing. May the Lord bless you. Know for a fact, at our best, we still stumble. At our best, there are times we fall. But there's a good warning. There's some things that can help us to know if we're on the verge of messing up. If we forget just those things we've seen with our own eyes, don't forget what you've seen, what you know for yourself to be true. That we serve a God, He knows how to, He'll do something to those that are trying to stop you from doing His will. May you clearly know what a privilege it is to be used by God and to have a covenant relationship with Him. My prayer is that God will bless you, that God will keep you, that God will use you, that you will know that the nest is not your destiny. And you can't be here and there at the same time. So in order to receive what God wants for you, you're gonna have to move from where you are. But the good news is, He'll be with you every step of the way. May health and favor be yours. May His comfort and peace be yours till we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you, team.